Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, May 9th. Welcome to Senate Labor and Commerce today. I would like to call the meeting to order at 1:30 p.m. With me are Vice Chair Senator Costello, Senator Gray Jackson, and Senator Birch. Senator Bishop may be coming. He has conflict right now. He's up in finance. And so he may be joining us shortly. Please turn off your cell phones, especially the ringer, please. Just to make sure that we don't have any disruptions. With me today are Dakota. Thank you, Dakota, for stepping in as the Labor and Commerce aide. She's wearing a lot of hats right now in extended session. And thank you, Nancy, and thank you, Doug, for constantly helping us out. We really appreciate you. Today we have a couple things on the agenda. The very first thing we're going to be bringing up today is the committee substitute for Senate Bill 11. It is the military spouse courtesy license. This version is by the state, the Senate Labor and Commerce. However, I really want to point out Representative Jackson and Senator Kawasaki, this was your original idea, and thank you for being bicameral, bipartisan, and allowing us to combine this bill. You guys have been really fantastic to work with. And I know that there's some special guests. We really want to welcome all armed forces today. Thank you so much for being here today. We purposely scheduled this meeting to honor you and to let you know that you have immense support in this building and by the not only the Joint Armed Services Committee, but committees across on both the House and the Senate, and tremendous support. You are very, very treasured members. And so with that, we hope to get this bill passed out with you here present. And so at this time, I'm going to ask Representative Jackson and Senator Kawasaki to please come and make final comments. Then I will be making sure that I open and close public testimony. I believe it's open right now.
Great. Ready? Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Labor and Commerce Committee for hosting this. Appreciated the work with your staff and with the rest of the members in creating Senate Bill 11. We all know that we support our military. We had had a Joint Armed Services Committee meeting that sort of showed that. Among the things that we had discussed previous years was how do we get the military families really engaged and active and involved right away. And one of the ways that we can do that is offering temporary or expedited courtesy licenses for which they may already have the knowledge and already have the skills in other states. And when they come up here, we want to make sure that they can get into their careers immediately. The second part of the bill will be to extend the current hiring preferences for military spouses and dependent children, and my colleague will speak to that. I just wanted to say that, you know, this is a big collaboration that we've had, and I, again, appreciate the chair for being such a strong military supporter, veteran supporter, and appreciated my colleague and her staff working all in tandem to get this to this final product we have now. You know, passage of Senate Bill 11 will improve two existing policies to help ensure military spouses can get their work easily, get to work easily and quickly upon relocating to Alaska. And so I would respectfully urge your support of Senate Bill 11 today. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Sharon Jackson, House District 13 representative. And Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for moving Senate Bill 11 out of committee in support of Blue Star, Gold Star families. Military families make up a large portion of our state's population, and this bill will make a difference. Supporting military families not only helps them, it will help our state's economy. We continue to hear about challenges faced by our public and private sector employers with recruitment in many areas, such as education, healthcare, and law enforcement. Expanding hiring preferences to military families, as many other states do, can help fill this gap. So I thank the sponsor, Senator Kawasaki, for working together with my office to incorporate House Bill 113 into this bill, and I look forward to continuing to work with him. Thank you very much.
So right now what I'm going to do is just make sure that I open and close public testimony. I did remove my objection from moving this bill out. I originally was the person that objected to this. However, just as a formality to make sure that there's no snags in the process, I'm going to open public testimony. I'm going to see if there's anybody online. It doesn't look like there's anybody online that wants to testify. I'm going to ask if there's anybody in the room that would like to testify. This is your opportunity if you'd like to. Okay. Please, General Sachs.
And for the record, Brigadier General Torrance Sachs. I'm the Adjutant General for Alaska. And I do support this bill, and I'll tell you why. Because when you're talking about military readiness, you're talking about family readiness. And if you don't have family readiness, the soldier, the airman, the marine, the sailor cannot focus on the job at hand. And anything that we can do to take care of the family, I'm certainly in favor of this, and I really appreciate your support on this.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your kind words today as well. We can tell you have a big heart for the soldiers and veterans, and we're really grateful for you. Is there anybody else in the room that would like to testify on this bill? Come on up. Bob, you know the drill, so.
For the record, my name is Robert Dole. I'm a resident of Anchorage of Senator Gray Jackson's district. I'm speaking here on my own behalf today and commending this committee for going forward with this bill. As the former state coordinator to the Association of Defense Communities, we heard from the military service secretaries that they share General Sachs's view that our greatest asset is our people, and our greatest asset in retaining our people in the military is their families. A key aspect of that is finding meaningful work for military spouses. This bill moves the ball a considerable distance in Alaska, and I thank you for the committee's effort.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thanks for what you do. We appreciate you. Is there anybody else? Okay. So I'm going to tell you why this I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony, and I'm going to tell you why this bill is really important to me. I was a district business manager of a pharmaceutical company, and I had to transition off of a big career in order to take an overseas assignment, and it was difficult. So once I got there over to Norway, it was really hard. They only cared about my husband, it felt like, to me, and spouses were completely alienated. We weren't even if we spent, like, I'll give you an example of a nurse that spent 2 years learning the Norwegian language, and even after, as a registered nurse, she learned and to pass the test, the Norwegian people would not allow her to work as a nurse, nor even volunteer as a candy striper. So to me, it was a very difficult time in my life because I'd come from a pretty big career and then into a foreign area, and the spouses just were not treated the way that they should have been treated and welcomed. And so I was so appreciative of my military friends. They took care of their families. They were like a family over there because there was a big NATO operation over there. And I just remember on my birthday them bringing me root beer and Reese's. And I tell you, that was just one of the most special things. It's the little things, and the support that the military provides, I think, is critical. And we want Alaska to know that military families are welcome, and that we welcome the dependents, and we welcome the spouses, and we are here for them, you know, even when the people are deployed. And so this bill, it shows preference. This shows preference, so priority preference to military and their dependents. It's not they may, they shall. So they shall show preference. It's also, there's a documentation. They have to provide a report of what they're doing to make sure we know that this is working and they're being held accountable. In addition, there's an outreach and education to make sure that they are going out there and letting and educating across the state what's going on, and that this is a prevalence. So I just think this bill is amazing, and so I want to see if there's any other committee members that have any final comments. Okay, and so with that, I am going to ask, what is the will of this committee?
Madam Chair, I move a committee substitute for Senate Bill 11, Labor and Commerce, version 31, LS0262/M, from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Is there any objection? There's no objection. With that, this bill unanimously passes out of our committee. So right now, we're going to take a brief at ease to sign paperwork and sign this bill to move it out of committee. And with that, anybody who is interested can please stand behind us, and we will take a photo with the bill. And so we're asking any of our guests and our military guests, and of course, Representative Jackson and Senator Kawasak, if you could please come forth. With that, we're taking a brief at ease. Back in, and we are right on schedule today. So we are now, the next order of business is Senate Bill 106, and there will be public testimony today. So anybody in the room that is interested in testifying on the bill, we definitely want to hear from you. So we don't know at this point what we're going to be doing with this bill today, but we are definitely want to hear any concerns. We're also going to be taking up amendments today. This is a bill that has, we had also some testimony on it already that was pretty impactful. But right now, we would like to invite Senator Begich and his staff, Loki, up for additional questions from committee members.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Tom Begich, District J, Anchorage. And once again, just a brief reminder, the bill is deals with, SB 106 deals with an issue now where presently an insurance company can choose not to renew a policy simply based on a claim made due to a break-in that was at no fault of the actual person holding the policy, whether renters or homeowners insurance. This bill seeks to correct that by providing a time period within which there's a, if you will, get out of jail free card, for want of a better phrase, that would allow a person to make at least one claim without that claim being used to be a condition of non-renewal. I do want you to know that I've had some very good conversations with industry. Generally, they are supportive of the way the bill is drafted. They have some questions about some language, but I think we can resolve that comfortably, and at this point, I'm not aware of any opposition to the bill in its present form, as long as I'm able at some point later in the process to take care of those changes, and they're very minor. They're just clarifying the intent around claims arising from criminal acts and and those I have no problem with. So with that, Madam Chair, my hope would be that we could move forward with the bill so that I can get it to the next committee referral and make whatever additional changes might be necessary after whatever amendments your committee may be choosing. Thank you for the opportunity, and very much thank you for looking into this unintended consequence of our crime wave.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any additional comments?
For the record, Lukey Gil Tobin with Senator with the Office of Senator Begich, and at this time I have no additional comments. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to go ahead and have some public testimony, and then we're going to take up an amendment from Vice Chair Costello. So first of all, I'll go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for the record, Tom Begich again. We did have a person who's going to call and testify, but they are in a hearing right now, so they provided written testimony, which is in your packets. We provided that to Dakota earlier, and so it should be in your packets. I'm looking over at Dakota to see if it is. You didn't put the written testimony in? Okay, well, so we can provide you that written testimony, but it's consistent with the testimony you heard 2 days ago about a person who was informed that if they made a claim, it could lead to non-renewal, so they withdrew their claim from the insurance industry. That is, we'll get a copy of that copied right now and get that to you so that you have it. Does she have a copy? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and open public. Well, it's public testimony is open, so we're going to ask if there's anybody in the room that would like to testify. Do you guys want to testify? You guys don't want to testify? You sure? Speak now, forever hold your peace. Do you want to highlight a letter or anything? No? Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony then on the bell. So basically, I just want to read the fiscal note since Senator Bishop normally does this. I normally do not do this. But it says the bill attempts to protect consumers of the homeowners or renters insurance policies from having their insurance policy non-renewed due to a filing of a claim if the claim is the first or only claim made within the 3 years prior to the policy's anniversary date. The Division of Insurance does not anticipate a fiscal impact from this legislation. So this is the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, Insurance Operations, and it was prepared by Lori Wing-Heyer, who is in the room right now. So just wanted to make sure that I pointed that out. And with that, I will ask Senator Costello.
Oh, for my amendment. Madam Chair, I move amendment number one before the committee.
And I will object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When we first heard the bill, we know that it deals with renters or homeowners, and they're able now to file, if it were to pass, to file a claim without it being a reason for non-renewal. And the reason that the sponsor had brought this bill before the legislature was due to the crime that we're experiencing in our state. And so this amendment would expand that to commercial property insurance. And so it's a two-page amendment, and essentially what it does is to expand the scope of the bill to not only include renter and homeowner insurance, but also commercial property insurance, because we are also seeing commercial businesses affected by crime. So, Madam Chair, that's the extent of this amendment.
Okay. Are there any questions on this amendment? Senator Birch.
I guess not so much a question as a concern. I mean, this seems like a very significant expansion of what was originally in front of us, and, you know, coming in kind of late. And I do notice in the letter in the backup, the May 7th letter here, it says the bill prohibits insurer from considering the first claim within 3 years for non-renewal. No apparent exceptions for this onerous underwriting and coverage mandate. Government mandate. For example, what if the first claim is something alarming like an alleged incident of arson, or if the insured's pit bull attacks a neighbor? And I think, you know, I mean, I'm kind of okay with the original intent, but to expand this to commercial property insurance, I mean, that's a huge, at least in my view, it's a much broader area. And I guess I don't know what sort of feedback we've gotten, or the date on this is May 8th, which is yesterday, so I don't know what sort of effort or initiative has been taken to reach out and talk to commercial property insurance interests. But I guess I'm concerned about that.
Just one second, Senator Casal, would you like to respond?
Just that I submitted the amendment by the deadline that the chair had asked for, and I appreciate the concerns. I know that Lori Winghire is here with the Division of Insurance. If there's any questions that she might be able to respond to, but I leave that up to the chair.
Mm-hmm. Would you please come forward?
For the record, my name is Lori Winghire. I'm the director of the Division of Insurance for the State of Alaska. Madam Chairman.
Please proceed.
I understand through the chair your concern as Senator Bishop.
Birch.
Or, I'm sorry, Senator Birch. And I see where your concern comes, and I think the insurers might have a concern. I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but I think Senator Begich's, the amendments that he spoke about are going to narrow this down to claims because of crimes. So in your instance of a pit bull or something else that would happen, this section would not apply. And again, I don't want to speak for Senator Begich, but I believe his intent is to narrow this down to focus on what the intent or the impetus behind the bill, and that was crime.
Okay. Yeah, through the chair?
Yes.
They weren't my words. As American Property Casualty Insurance Association mentioned, the pit bull or the arson issue. And I agree that supposedly the impetus for this was all about criminal activity and somebody being denied renewal. So do you have a sense for how much larger a pool this would include with if you started expanding it to commercial property insurance interests?
Through the chair, Senator Birch, it would all property insurance. I mean, from stores to large native corporations to Fred Meyer to the small businessman. Their commercial property is not unrestricted in large, big, where it's located. Could be in Nome, could be in Anchorage. We have not had any complaints that I'm aware of related to commercial property. It's not to say it hasn't happened. Right. I'm just unaware of it. We certainly know they have been victims of crime,
right.
And that we know. The way this bill has come out in the last week, I have not heard anything from commercial insurers. I know that State Farm or PCI had a concern, but they have addressed it in their letter. And I think that if it's narrowed down to crime, and again, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, I think there's a higher level of comfort with it.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And I apologize, I can't find the PCI letter in right now. I don't know if I have it in my package, and I'm not sure if does anyone have that letter? Okay. So this is okay. So what the note that I'm getting is this was to an older version, and that the issues have been corrected. So anyway, so the concerns that have been resolved in the committee substitute. So apologize, a little bit off beat there, but I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss a beat there, all right? Thank you for your patience. I really appreciate it. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you. I don't have any questions for you, Lori, at all. But anyway, thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make a comment, and I want to thank Senator Begich for bringing forward this bill. It's really, really important for our constituents and our community because of crime. And I have to also take a step further and thank my colleague sitting next to me for including commercial, businesses, commercial property, and it also, because when I served on the assembly, I had a working group of business owners who were just beside themselves because of all of the crime that has happened in our community, and I know that they're going to be really, really pleased to see this bill. So thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Do you think there's going to be any fiscal impact? And I don't mean just to government, because the bill, the very first bill that I ever got passed was House Bill 140, and you're supposed to look at impacts to the private sector as well. So I want to know, and that's why I'm a little uncomfortable moving this bill, especially if we adopt this amendment. I don't know if there's going to be additional fiscal impacts, you know, to the private sector, even to the potential, person if they have to increase, if they end up getting increased premiums. I mean, what do you anticipate in this area?
Madam Chairman, it's hard to say, but we discussed on, I guess it was Tuesday we were here, and we discussed that this bill does not limit an insurer from adding a surcharge to the policy or raising the rates, if you will, because of the crime. I mean, we've all, if you've had an auto claim, you've probably seen your rates go up the next renewal cycle. It doesn't stop them. They can't triple the premium. They can't make it so egregious that the consumer, let's say they submitted a claim for $2,000, they can't turn around and take their property insurance up 10. That would not be allowed by statute. They would have to do a new filing, and we would not look at that as we would look at it as an excessive rate increase. But so the consumers absolutely could see an increase in their insurance if they file a claim. But what they will have is they will still have insurance. I mean, that's the trade-off I think that we're making here.
Okay, so do you anticipate any pushback from, and I know I'm putting you in a little awkward, and I understand that, but the public testimony, we didn't, this is a 24-hour rule, so normally they get a full week to see, something like this posted, and that's why, do you anticipate concerns from the private sector or the insurers?
Madam Chairman, I don't anticipate any concerns from the private sector, including personal lines, homeowners, and if you will, from commercial, to differentiate it from commercial. From the insurance companies, I could see where they would make an argument that where they don't like the wording as it is. But I do think with Senator Begich's, and again, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but if he is narrowing it down to address just crime, they're basically getting one get out of jail card, as was talked about earlier, for a claim that is because of a crime, a victim, a claim that they submitted because of a crime where they were the victim and there was nothing they could do about it. And so I can't imagine insurers, and again, you'd probably have to talk to them, but I can't imagine that on, if it's narrowed down to that, that they are going to have a major concern with the bill.
Okay, and I'll tell you why this is important to me and why I'm a little uneasy. This is the only committee of referral on this bill. So we have to vet this bill. We have to know. We have to be confident. Looking around the corner, I really like the concept and I really want to move the bill. I do. But it's my responsibility. This is the only bill I've seen that's had one committee of referral, in this committee, this year that I'm aware of anyway. So that's why I want to do my due diligence. I don't want to not see unintended consequences around the corner. And so that's why I'm having a little bit of pause right now on anticipating what to do. So is there any other comments that you would like to make at this time?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
Do you know if the administration supports this, or can you speak for them or not?
Madam Chair, I have not discussed this particular bill with the administration. I think that they would be somewhat torn. I think that obviously Governor Dunleavy is a strong, staunch, we've got to do something about crime, and the impetus for this bill is crime. On the other hand, he is not supportive of increased regulations and statutory mandates. And I'm just being totally frank that I think there's two pieces to this.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask one more question. With this amendment, which I know we haven't, fully adopted yet, but what do you think he would think about that, or the administration in general? I'm just getting one more, viewpoint.
I couldn't say, Madam Chair. Okay. The amendment just came out, and I have not discussed the amendment with anyone.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so the amendment is before us. I have objected. Is there any additional comments? Senator Birch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's been a number of references to crime. I don't see anything in this committee substitute that limits this to criminal behavior or damages and claims that were a result of criminal behavior. Is that somewhere in the committee substitute and I'm missing it in the work draft, or I'm looking at M?
Madam Chair, if I may, I thought I heard Lori say that there was an amendment coming forward that would be specific to crime, but I'm not putting words into the sponsor's mouth, so maybe he could address Senator Birch's concerns. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Begich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Begich, for the record, District J, Anchorage. Through the chair, Senator Birch, I had an opportunity to meet with the industry and talk, not about the amendment, which is on the table right now, so I want a little latitude, if that's okay, Madam Chair, to talk about the broader question Senator Birch is asking about, but specifically about the original bill. In that, they asked for two slight adjustments to that bill. We were not able to get them back from drafting in time to bring to your committee. There is another committee of referral. That committee is rules, because this, and I'm on the rules committee. So I went and met with the rules staff and asked if it would be acceptable, since I had missed the deadline to getting amendments into this committee, would it be acceptable if this committee passed it out for me to introduce that tightening language, which I have agreed to provide agreed with the industry to provide for this bill. That language would do two things. The first thing would be to say it could not be the sole basis of a claim of non-renewal. So in other words, it gave a little bit more latitude to the industry. I was conscious of your concerns on Tuesday. The second specifically cites crime as an outcome of criminal activity. Both of those elements were language that the industry brought to me. I reviewed the language. I sent it to Legislative Legal. They finally got a draft over to us today. That I don't want to delay the bill, because it's very likely that we won't have an opportunity to hear the bill again, but I'm very conscious of the Madam Chair's concern that this is the only committee for vetting, and so I'm here to reassure you that I have been reassured by staff and rules that those two tightening amendments would be done. I did not address the amendment that Senator Costello put forward, but it was very specific to your concerns on the residential part, and very specific to those concerns. And the industry met this morning in a teleconference and agreed to those changes. So I've done my due diligence in that regard. Obviously, we couldn't meet that tight deadline. It's simply two lines. If Madam Chair, if you would entertain it, I'd be happy to read the two lines to you as a committee, so that you could feel that you are fully informed before you act further on that. But you have an amendment before you, and I don't want to supersede that process.
Okay, so first of all, I just want to address this amendment.
Yes.
And the committee is aware we do have another bill that has been asked to be heard in this committee. And so I'm not comfortable getting this out without that language, and I don't like to do amendments conceptual. I want to get it right. I'm a little bit of a perfectionist with legislation. And so I believe I have to talk to the committee members. The reason we did not hear that language is because it missed the deadline, and we're pretty strict on that, because once someone breaks the rules, then it's a regular behavior, and if we broke it for one, then we have to break it for somebody else. And so that's why we hold our rules. You know, we have them all posted. And so that's why and so I am not comfortable personally moving this bill today, but however, we may be having a meeting tomorrow. And so I have not had the opportunity to talk to the committee members, but if we could just focus on this amendment right now, I just want to make sure, do you want to weigh up as written with this amendment now? Are you comfortable with this amendment?
I have no preference one way or the other on this amendment. If this amendment went forward, it would just become part of the bill. I think the director's comments about getting comment back from the industry would be useful, but I have no problem with this amendment one way or the other. My understanding from a brief conversation, and this is not a formal conversation, Madam Chair, with the industry is they are less comfortable with the commercial language, but it is likely because it broadens the scope of the bill. I have no preference, however. I don't. You know, this is you had expressed a concern in committee on Tuesday that you wanted it to cover business and other business properties. I believe that the amendment does that, and it effectively does that. I'm not aware of any claims or interests that have been brought to my attention in that regard, but I would respectfully ask that that if you do consider this amendment, that you at least consider the industry's position on it, given that they have worked with me on the bill at this point.
Okay, because I think Senator Birch has brought up a very good point, which I actually, you know, in regards to crime, the language has to be in here. It has to be tight. And so, you know, to me that's very, very important. And so with that, I want to ask Senator Costello, is there any language in your amendment that restricts this or identifies that this is crime-related?
So, Madam Chair, when the bill was introduced to this committee, it was introduced as a bill that was addressing the situation of crime. And so based on what I heard from the bill sponsor, it sounds that as if that will be addressed in the language, and if that is added into the bill, then it would clarify that it also dealt with crime-related issues for the commercial property insurance.
Okay, so I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but the answer is no. It doesn't specifically say in this amendment. It would be addressed in the committee substitute or in an additional amendment.
Correct.
Okay, so with us, let's go ahead and see if there's any, with amendment number one, is there any other concerns that you guys need to, that you guys want to discuss? No? Okay, so did you say you object? Or did I, because I'm going to remove my objection.
To amendment one?
Yes, to amendment number. You object. Okay. So I'm removing my objection. He is objecting. So with that, we're going to go ahead and call the roll.
Senator Gray Jackson?
Yes.
Senator Costello?
Yes.
Senator Birch?
No.
Chair Reinbold?
That will be a yes. Okay, so this amendment does pass at this time, and I do want to correct the record a little bit. I just said the discussion needed to take place in regards to this. I didn't say I necessarily wanted it in there. I mean, I've obviously just voted in regards to this because there's so many problems with businesses right now. It just breaks my heart when I go talk to the management at the stores across the community, across the state, wherever I am, and that's why I would rather be more precautious and just know that we're looking into this issue and having more of an umbrella in regards to this. But I'm going to right now take a brief at ease, and I need to talk to my committee for just a moment. We had to do a little bit of efficiency there. I had to make sure that that my committee was available tomorrow. So we are going to be noticing, we're on the 24-hour rule, so I believe we have to get things in within about the next hour and 45 minutes. We are going to be hearing House Bill 104 tomorrow, which is sponsored by Representative Tammy Wilson. And then we will also be addressing and taking up the additional language via an amendment form. We will accept the amendment. Senator Begich?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tom Begich for the record. I have the amendment here. I will provide it to your staff. It is in final form and ready to be presented to the committee. So I will give it to the staff for tomorrow's hearing.
Excellent. And we will get that distributed this afternoon, so you have ample time to look at it. Okay. And then Senator Birch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since we did get that letter of concern from, I gave mm-hmm. you my copy, mm-hmm. but could we also notify whomever we got that letter from of how this legislation has been, you know, mutated or changed or amended?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we may actually ask for invited testimony.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just thinking it would be fair in my view to make sure.
Okay. Yeah, we will definitely do that, because I do think I always like a little bit of healthy tension on boards, a little bit of healthy tension. I just think it's good. It makes all of us think about things from a different angle and look around the corner. So is there any other comments in regards to this right now? Okay, so we will meet tomorrow at 1:30, same place, in this room, and you guys know the agenda now. It will be a continuation of SB 106, and it will be House Bill 104. Okay, with that, I'm going to go ahead and gavel the meeting out at 2:12.